to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6. Jeremiah, chapter 6. And so, being in the presence of God, having his word that was given back then for by way of Jeremiah and for the people of Israel, and in the light of Nebuchadnezzar's impending coming down to level Jerusalem ultimately. So here we are. So if you would like to consider perhaps the thought that I am going to send you all to the White House and under the great Commander-in-Chief, God. And you have to understand what's happening in the world, and you want to know, what moves do you make? What do you do? And how do you do it? Exercise. Jeremiah chapter 6. Remember, God is warning for the umpteenth time Israel, and Israel is told, being in Tekoa and having retreated in the light of the pending invasion by Nebuchadnezzar. So when you come to verse 16, where we were, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? And so we share together that to stand, that means the opposite of sitting, stand up, be fully alert, ready to move, and you're going to have to make a choice now. You've been going down one way. You need to consider, is that the way you want to keep going? Or do you need to correct your direction where you're going? So stand up, get ready. You're going to have to make a choice, a move. So stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths, the ancient paths. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all those wonderful ways that they went. And in the old paths, ancient paths, is where the good way is. So you've been going on a way, your own way. You want to go in a good way. So what do we do in the light of, what direction do we do? Where do we go? And so God, you're telling us to take the good way based on the old paths. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over, if you would, to, and by the way, while you're there, walk. Are you going to ask? You're going to see. The word verb to see is the verb to look out there, to view, and to ask. View and ask. You're going to ask. And the word verb ask is to ask in a very urgent, pressing way. You truly, truly need direction. You need information. Ask in a very serious way. And in doing so what are they asking for? The old paths and the good way. All right. Over, just to remind ourselves, because after all, what are you going to work with? So, and remember now, the prophets and priests were preaching, not all the prophets, of course, but many of them were preaching and teaching, priests, prophets, that everything was going to be all right. All the hoopla about trouble, about an invasion, about war, about it all, was a lot of nonsense. You don't need to worry about it. It just isn't going to be. That's what they had. And that was and people were listening to that. So now Jeremiah says, hey, you better take another look. and consider. Now, Micah chapter 6. And we're trying to get some just general understanding of what does God require. I mean, God, what do you want us to do? Here we are. Here they are. What do you want of them? They certainly unable to beat Nebuchadnezzar in battle. They certainly are ill-equipped to go to war, actually. Their attitude and thinking is not good. Micah chapter 6, remember Micah is living after the Assyrian captivity, 722, Isaiah, Micah, up there. And in Micah chapter 6, he says these wonderful words for us. Verse 8, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? What does God want? Where are the old paths? Where's the good way? God, what do you want? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. Walk. You want to walk down that road. Well, walk humbly down that road. Walk humbly with thy God. With thy God. Don't go alone. Go with thy God. Now, and so over now, back over to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Way back, the priest and prophets and people generally would know these wonderful words. Deuteronomy chapter 10, picking up if I can, verse 12, just to remind us the same message way back with Moses. Verse 12, chapter 10. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk, there's your little word, to walk, in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So what does God want? He wants you to walk in his ways, the good way, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, etc. And to love him, good, and we did that on Sunday to tell you why you have to do it. With all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength, because that's how God's doing it. And it's no fares unless you reciprocate. God said, no deal. You love me with all your heart, and I will love you with all my heart. It's a commitment, a wonderful, wonderful arrangement for God to be God in a wonderful way in our heart and life. Now, and thus to love him, to serve him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That's right. Now, having said that, Deuteronomy chapter 30 again. Deuteronomy chapter 30. So God, you want us to go and simply to walk with you down the corridor of time. That's what you want. So we don't prescribe, we don't know the next 10 days. They're all out there. How they're going to go, we don't know. We could guesstimate and say things, but we never know for sure. We'd have to say, Lord willing. We don't know. God knows. So in chapter 30, we add, if I may again, verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record, to bear witness this day against you. Why? That I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. So the word to choose is the verb to prove, to test metal, to take metal and test it, to get the dross out, to see if the metal's pure, and then to get rid of the impurities. Prove, to purify. Go and seek, choose. I want you to go and choose life and blessing, not death and cursing. And I told you what path to take. It's the old path. It's the right path. It's the good way. That's what I want you to do. But there's so many things, so many decisions out there. But you don't know them. God does. God knows the decisions, and God knows how it's going to go. And so you want to be in the place that you're moving in a healthy, holy, happy way with God. That's all. You just want to be moving like that. That's a safety zone, as you'll see. Now, in the light of that. Now, Israel, you want to keep in mind, Israel is not doing very well in making choices that are good as a nation. Now, how long has this problem been existing for them? How long have the majority of the people been thinking wrong? Over to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Remember, they're leaving Egypt, Exodus 14, and we're interested in their thinking. What is your attitude as you venture out, as you seek to go the way of God, the good way, God's way? And they had no idea when they left Egypt that they were going to cross the Red Sea. That was the last thing in their head, that they're going to cross the Red Sea. They probably wouldn't even have left if they thought they had to do that. Wow. So chapter 14, and picking up in verse 11. And the people said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Now here we are. We're already on our way out in a marching military way. And as we're going out of Egypt, a big long line, as we're going out, we're mumbling and grumbling. Verse 12. Is not this the word that we did tell thee? Where did you start complaining? In Egypt. Moses, you were doing the wonderful outworking of God's power, the plagues, the 10 plagues, etc. What were they doing? Complaining. Complaining. That's what they were doing. Wow. So, verse 12, that we may serve the Egyptians, saying, let us alone, verse 12, that we may serve the Egyptians. In other words, we don't want to go out there, Moses, where you're going. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. So what kind of thing is this, Moses? So here they are, reluctantly going, because it was time. It's time. God waits and waits and waits. When it's time for something, time runs out on the clock. And there is no more waiting. Easy thing. Once the 120 years are up in the days of Noah, they had 120 years. Maybe they had like 130 years. There aren't 130 years. There are no more years. There is no more time. Are the people more ready to go at 120? 130. They aren't any more ready to go. Their attitude's the same. Their thinking's the same. They aren't changed. They haven't changed a bit. Not a bit. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 9. Here they are about to enter the land. Moses is going to die, and they're going to go into the land, those that are alive. And in chapter 9, picking up, please, if I may, in Deuteronomy, verse 7, Remember and forget not how thou didst provoke, thou provokest the Lord thy God. You provoked him to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt, you have been wonderfully consistent in being a pain in the neck to God. You have been wonderfully all 40 years. And God, you're hanging in there. Ah, we have to wait. God, you're doing. We're getting there. So now, in verse 7, from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt, verse 7, until ye came unto this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord all the way there. Now, over to Jeremiah, all the way to Syrian captivity and the Babylonian captivities coming up. Jeremiah and chapter 7. And you would recall Jeremiah chapter 7. I'll just give a little background to that one. Verse 24, 7 and 24. But they hearken not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels, in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since, how long have they been doing this? Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day. When's this day? This is Jeremiah's day, and the 10 tribes in the north are all gone. A boy of a lot of years gone by. You would think the people might have got straightened out somehow. But they didn't. They didn't. Do you know the problems in our own country are partly there because we never fixed them for 100 years. We never did anything. We just kept letting it go and letting it go and letting it go. And eventually, of course, you got trouble. You wonder where it came from. Well, we were susceptible. We just didn't have it. We didn't make any difference in one sense. Not enough difference to us. Now, so here all the way, all God's making possible in Jeremiah. God's making possible that which is precious and prized to be the privileged people of Israel, to enjoy the wonderful position that they would have, and they would go into the land. Now, their heart, though, isn't quite where it should be. So therefore, I'm in the land, but you know what? I don't have any life to enjoy the land. I got saved, maybe, but I didn't connect to God to be able to have the life for the exercise and the experience of enjoying where I am. I don't have it. I can say I'm saved, I can say that, but I don't have anything to go with it. They're going to go in the land, and they're missing out on that unique, wonderful relationship that they have with God. To walk with God, they aren't. And you know what's going to happen, don't you? Very, very shortly, Joshua's going to die, 110 years old or so, going to die. And then the judges, after Joshua, and Samuel's the last judge. And what do you have? Your book of Judges. What is that? Everyone did that which is what? Right in their own eyes. Everyone does what they want to do. Ah, so boy, it's consistent. There's nothing new in the world. Humanity, global humanity, from north, south, east, and west, all across the world, is the same. Just the same. Always the same. Uh-huh. Now, God, over to chapter in Jeremiah chapter 6 and in 16. Remember, they're going to ask as a command, pressing, looking for the old paths, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah. They're going to ask for those. And they're going to walk to go forward in verse 16. They're going to walk therein, walk in the way. The old path, just walk in that way, walk in them. Just walk in. And when you walk in that way, when you go in that way, we'll go back to that, but when you walk therein, what's going to happen when you walk there? You're going, well, you haven't got your destination yet, but you're going to find something when you walk down that road. You're going to find peace. You're going to find rest for your souls. You're going to find something, rest for your souls. You mean to tell me here they are struggling and they're all going the wrong way, all set, a remnant. There's a Jeremiah and a Zephaniah and a Haggai and a Daniel and Ezekiel. They're there, but people don't want them. And so the nation as a whole is going down the road. And as they go down the road, they aren't paying attention. And God, you know what? They're not going to find. God, aren't you there? When they go down the wrong road, isn't God on the wrong road? Oh, he is. God's everywhere. And ultimately, when people, the devil, angels go to hell, God is there in all of his wonderment. And they're going to know it. A holy God is there. Yep. Wow. So now, picking up, if you would, please, in Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Now we're going down that road. And as we go down that road, and God's there, but they aren't going to find any rest. They aren't going to find any. They have to go down where God is. The good way. The good way. The old paths. Abraham, etc. Noah walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Abraham walked with God. Then you're fine. But the Israel, as a nation, hasn't done well at all. So now, in chapter 32, remember David is going to help us. Oh, we're picking up, please. In verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. My iniquity have I not hid. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sins. In other words, I did the confessing. God does the forgiving. Verse 6, for this, and why did you do that? Because it was the time to do it. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. They're going to Jeremiah 6 and 16 to find rest. Here's your verb, to find something, to find it. When you go down, verse 6, looking for God, God is going to be found. When God may be found, verse 6, surely in the flood of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. And when I'm going down the road, I'm going to look to God, and God is there. God is there. You want to be in the right road so that you'll find God there. It isn't that God isn't there. God's in the sewer. God knows everything. There's no question of that. It's just you want to be in the place where you have God is looking at you with pleasure. God's going to honor you. All he wants you to do is walk humbly before him and honor him. That's what he wants with your whole heart. He didn't ask you to make a road. He is the road. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. All right. Now, thus, in verse 7, thou art my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me from trouble, thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. And God, as I go down the road, God, you're going to surround me with your wonderful grace, and I want to tell everyone else out there that God, there's a time to find God, there's a time that you won't find God. You want to be on the right path that you'll find God. You want to go where God is. You want to stay with God. You don't want to be without him. Just like Moses before. Moses said, I'm not going to move an inch. Remember Exodus 33? I'm not going to go an inch, God. The people don't care. They want to go backwards. But I'm not going forwards or nor backwards. God, I'm not moving unless you move. I'm going to go only where you go. That's the only place I'm going, God, where you go. Where you are, I'm going to be. How's that? Remember Ruth? Remember Ruth's wonderful, wonderful statement in Ruth chapter? Wherever you go, Naomi, no matter what, I'm not going to go any place except where you go. See? Boy, you're locked on. Uh-huh. God, are you happy? God loves it. Wow. Now, please pick up with me Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. God, are you going to tell the people that? He is. He is. In David's day, now in Isaiah's day, Isaiah is about 80 years ahead of Jeremiah. So here he is. Assyrian captivity has taken place. And Babylon and Jerusalem and Judah are coming up with Nebuchadnezzar. And Isaiah is warning. Chapter 55, Isaiah, picking up, please. In verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You want to find God. I don't want to lose it. I don't want to lose out. Life and blessing, death and cursing. Make a choice. Make a choice. Which way do you want to go? Which way? Verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And why is God going to do that? And why are we looking to God? And why do we want to not be without him? Because... Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. We are on two different wavelengths. So God, you have to help me. I don't know how to work out, but here we are, Syria and the Near East and the whole circle of countries and all of that, the ramifications of that are wonderfully to be outworked, I got to tell you. All kinds of scenarios. You sit down and say, well, this could be, and this could be, this could be. That's right. And they're all there. I don't know how it's going to go, but it is. It is. Wonderfully so. It is wonderfully so. And what can I tell you? Now, in Isaiah 55, so my thoughts and my ways are higher than your ways, as you know, verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So, God, here we are looking. And in Isaiah's day, God said, listen, there's a time to find him, Judah and Jerusalem. If you don't take it, you're going to lose out. And you'll find going down the road that God won't be in it. You won't find him. And that's what's going to happen in Jeremiah. I don't want you to pray about them. I don't want you to, I'm not going to spare them. I'm not going to help them. I'm not going to do anything. They're going to go and get clipped. There's no sense in you saying anything. That's what's going to happen. I'm all done. Wow. Now, over in Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. And God, is there any hope? Yeah, there is. There is. What does the Israelite, the people in Judah and Jerusalem need to do? Well, they need to go, and they're going to go in the 70 years of captivity with Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 10, 29:10. Thus saith the Lord, after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. My thoughts are words are higher than the heavens. So well, you're going to figure them out. No, they're way up there. They're wonderful to be prized, the prized and precious. And thus, I saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, verse 11, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me. There's your verb. Seek me and find me when you shall search for me with what? All your heart. I already told you that. So if you seek me with all your heart, you find me. Is it going to take you? It's going to take 70 years of captivity. And a little handful of Jews are going to leave Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon and go down there and struggle in hardship and hard knocks, and they're going to build a temple that's nothing like Solomon's, and they're going to do a little bit with God. God help them. And they're going to do that, just a little bit. And God, that's what they're going to do. The people don't want it. But a remnant's going to seek it, and God offers it. Isn't that wonderful? We said that in the beginning. Isn't it wonderful when you go to the bottom of the pile, when there is nothing left for you but nowhere else down to go, you're at the bottom. And then you'll find God. If you look to him, you'll find him there. You want to get back up? Look to God. You want to figure it out? Look to God. His thoughts and his ways? God, I would have never chosen all the different things the way you do them. I don't know. But God, you do. Wow. Over, if you would, please. In verse 14, and I will be found, there's your verb, I'll be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from all places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away. I'm going to bring you back to Jerusalem. I'm going to do that. When you turn to me with all your heart, and look, you'll find me there. I'm always there. You're always there, even when you're in the wrong place. And you look to God in the wrong place. You look up, there's God. And God will have to help me get to the right place. Often it's where you got off. Where did you leave God? That's where you need to get back on the road with God. Where'd you leave him? Now, in the light of that, if you're on the thought, find of God. Do you know, David is going to go and tell Solomon the very truth that you're reading right now. We're looking at it. David is going to tell Solomon, 1 Chronicles 28, David is going to tell Solomon, if you seek the Lord with all your heart, you'll find him. If you leave him out, you're going to be a loser. So seek the Lord with all your heart, and you'll find him. So Solomon, whatever, on your journey, look to God. You always find him when you seek him with all your heart. And you have Psalm 146:1. Psalm 146:1. Not 146, 46. 146 is all right. 46. Number 46. If I can. 46, picking up, please, in verse 1. You know, great. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And the word present is the word found. Very much to be found. God is present, help. God is very much to be found when trouble's there. He's an ever-present, very present, right there. You'll find me if you seek me with all your heart. Now, going back over. Back over, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 6. And in Jeremiah chapter 6, picking up, I'll just get the statement again. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you'll find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. You'll find rest for your souls. Okay, rest. Now I'm going to go, if I may, I'm going to drop back to Isaiah. Isaiah is going to give us some insight on this whole thing. Back to Isaiah, if you would, chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. And remember now, in Isaiah 30, what was Israel, as Israel, his Assyria has taken the 10 tribes, Judah and Jerusalem and Benjamin, they're down here, and they haven't learned a lesson, anything about what happened to the 10 tribes. They haven't paid attention to history at all, and therefore they're going to repeat it. So now doing that, Isaiah, what were they going to do though? We are going to go, and we don't. Assyria went and took the 10 tribes in the north. We aren't going to worry about Assyria, no sir. We're going to make an alliance with Egypt. With Egypt, we're going to make an alliance to protect us. Uh-huh. Now that's the context. You'll pick it up quickly, chapter 30, verse 1. Woe unto the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. Why? That they may add sin to sin. They're going to go from bad to worse. Verse 2. That walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves, that's the purpose they're going down, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, his army, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. We're going to trust Egypt and Pharaoh to protect us. We'll make an alliance with them, and we'll do that. Now, having said that, and they go and proceed to try to do that. And remember now, without getting the whole section because of time, verse 7, for the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. There's no way Egypt is going to help you. There's no way. No way it's going to help you. Now go and write it before them in a table and note, verse 8, it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. And we're reading it. We're reading it. So we aren't lost. We have the benefit. We got the benefit. We're reading it. That this is the rebellious people. This is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, to the people, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit. In other words, we don't want to hear anything except we want what we want to hear. So to the seers, the lawyers, the people that study, the prophets, don't you dare say anything that is not going to be popular and accepted. Don't do anything. I don't want to hear any smooth things. In fact, verse 11, get you out of the way. Get out of the way. And turn aside out of the path. Don't go down the right road. And don't go down the old path. Don't you do that. We don't want to know where you're going. Don't you lead us. You go, if you want to go, disappear down that road. We aren't going down that road. Verse 11. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Tell God to get out of our act. Get away from us. Do you think people would do that today? Sure they do. Their heart gets hard. And they don't want to hear from God. And you know what? They don't. I'll bet you if we had to test it, I bet we could show it. That God, they don't hear from God. They don't even know what God's doing. They don't even care. Wow. Now, hang on, God, you're going to help us. Uh-huh. Now, skipping if I can, and remember now, over if I can, oh, to wonderful. Verse 15. Oh, I got to read verse 14, I guess. And he shall break it, break the relationship. He shall break it in an instant, the end of verse 13. Verse 14, he shall break it as a breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of the vessel, in the breaking up of the pottery of it, a shred to take fire from the hearth. Now, I'm going to uses a pot, pottery. That piece of pottery is going to be so broken that you can't even find a piece of that pottery to take fire and move, stick it in the, and put a piece of fire to move the fire to start another fire. You won't even have a little piece to put a piece of fire on to transfer. You will not even have a little piece of pottery to dip into the water and get a drink. I'm going to so destroy, there'll be nothing left. That's what I'm going to do. Now the statement. Wonderful. Verse 15. For, you say, God's a terribly, terribly hard. You bet your boots he is. In fact, that's what we don't like to, no one wants to say it. God said, and they said, and God said, I am an austere man. I am. Wow, that's not much. Stern, strict, straight. Whoa. Ah, in order that I might get things straight for you. If I was not, you would never get saved. I am so austere, so strict. I sent my son, and he went to the cross, and he bore every lousy word, thought, and deed of your life on that cross. And I did that because I have a wonderful plan, and you have to wake up to it. Verse 15, for thus saith the Lord, God the Holy One of Israel, In returning and rest shall ye be saved. The word returning, to retire, to desist, to stop, to turn back to God. Look over and, well, you can't do it, time's sake. Returning, rest, returning, retirement, stopping, desisting. In returning, stop, whoops, hold it. Returning and rest, to come down, to lie down, you'd set something down on the table and it would sit there on the table, resting on the table, to sit down comfortably, to rest. In returning and rest, shall ye be what? Saved. See, you want safety. What do you need to do? You need to choose the old path. You need to get on the good path. That's where I am. You get on the good path, you're all set. All set, you want to know what's going to happen to all the countries and who's going to do what now? God said, I know what's going to happen. And you don't control any of them. None of them. Or you're just sort of a spectator in the bleachers watching the game. So now, in returning and rest, shall you be saved. Wonderfully, wonderfully saved. Delivered. Rescued. And remember the word rest is used of the tabernacle moving in the daytime with the cloud and night with the fire, and move any time, 2:00 in the morning, God could move. And he moved them to teach them to pay attention to God. Follow, pay attention. When God moves, you move. When God's moving, you're moving. You're trusting God to get in the right way. And God, what did you do every time you moved? Numbers chapter 10. and the ark and the tabernacle rested. It moved and rested. It moved and rested. What are you learning? You go with God and rest and rest. In returning and rest, you'd be saved. And that's a wonderful thing. God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Rest. That's good. But. I am the way, the truth, and the... But listen to anything. Now, the next part. In returning and rest, and in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. In quietness and in confidence. Quiet, still, tranquil. And in confidence, trust. You're going to go, and in quietness, stillness. And in confidence, trust. You're going to trust, assurance. And when you do that, you're going to be strong. You mean to tell me if I just have stood still and trust you, I'll be strong? He said, that's correct. In returning and rest, you'll be saved. Quietness and trust, and you'll have to be strong. Yeah. Strong. Wow. Now, hang on to that. Keeping that in mind, slide over to chapter 32 of Jeremiah. Of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 32. And you'll see the same two words that you just read. Quietness and confidence. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17. And the work, the effect of righteousness shall be what? Peace. And the effect, the result of righteousness. What does righteousness produce? Quietness, there's your word, quietness, stillness, tranquilness, and assurance, that's the word confidence, assurance, to hang on to something, to hang on tightly. And in the effect, the results of righteousness, quietness, stillness, and assurance forever. You're going to have a wonderful, wonderful firmness, a firm hold on life. A wonderful, wonderful firm hold on life. Over, if you would, please, to chapter 30. And you'll be strong. Valor, have a lot of valor. Courage, mighty, powerful. Being able to achieve things. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Now, so thus, and you want to pick up, we aren't going to do it, but you'll get it. See the end of verse 15? Now, I'm going to get you. In quietness, in returning and rest, shall you be what? How hard is it for you to enjoy God's saving grace? I'm trying to get you to come up with a formula. How hard is it to get you to enjoy God's saving grace, to rescue you? What do you need to do? Are you working at it? In returning and what? And rest. Now, what do you need to do to have the oomph, the stuff, strong, to be able to do what you have to do in a way that honors God? Walk humbly before me and look to me with all your heart and go down the corridor of time. I'm in front of you. I'm going to be right in front of you. Where you go, I go. God, thank you. Now, and therefore, God, how am I going to get strong? Well, I'm going to have to do what? I'm going to have to be still as a stone, quiet, tranquil. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will mount guard. In quietness and confidence, you're going to lay hold of me and going to trust me with all your heart. And when you do that, you'll have a wonderful strength. I didn't ask for your IQ. I didn't ask for how brilliant you were. I didn't ask for what you do for me. I didn't give you any of that. I just told you how simple it is because it cost me my son. That's why it's so simple. Now, what do you think? Is that a good? Now, the last three words of verse 15. I know if you can see them, you know, you may not want to see them. I don't know. I don't blame you. They want. They would not. And after all of that, they still wouldn't do it. Interesting, isn't it? Now, God, you're an old meanie, baloney. God, your amazement. It is amazing how you handle humanity. Wow. I wish you'd go a little further, but our time is gone. But I hope you got a little bit. We got it started. What to do? And so when I send you to the White House, you're just going to go tell them, get down on your knees, and thank God that he's able to do exceeding wonderful all above all that you ask or think. And level your heart and use your good common sense. And just do the right things in the right way. Nothing to it. Be strong. We don't need weakness. We need strength. But we need it in the right way. Strength. Courage. You know. Going to go into the arena with Goliath? All right. God, if Goliath is there, I'm going. God, and in quietness and confidence, trust will be my strength against a Goliath, against Assyria, against anybody. In the will of God. Wow. Anyway, perhaps you have a particular request that you'd like to take.